That's Felix Rosenquist, who gets a great start in the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. The Meyer Shack Honda leads them down the front straight.
The Frocho with the jump. Watch the yellow and red car of Alex Palou looking three wide, but will power to the outside.
Power sweeps around and gets Rosenquist in turn one.
They get through turn one fine. Now it's the fountain side by side. Doesn't normally work here. Christian Lundgaard slotting in behind Scott Dixon, being smart about it here. So far, the fireworks have not happened. Yeah, you see now on board with Rossi in the 7 into pit lane. This is not a scheduled stop, Dylan.
They had a left rear issue that they saw on the data, and this hurts because they had started on the alternates. I guess it's a good thing because they're done with them now. They'll go to sticker primaries here, but a lot of ground to make up for Rossi.
Of course, the rules dictate you have to run each tire compound in the race. Let's see on board now. This is Pato O'Ward. That's Alex in front of him. Oh, hit by his own teammate in the fountain.
Let's show you this move. For third place, here is Marcus Ericsson on fellow Swede.
Just clinical stuff, textbook up the inside there, no defense from Rosenquist.
Inside, one only.
Got some news from race control, and it's not good if you're a Pato O'Ward fan of Arrow McLaren. He has to perform a drive-through penalty, avoidable contact.
Oh, Christian Rasmussen. Heavy into the wall. That looks like the exit of turn four, maybe.
Yeah, I think it is, guys. We've seen a lot of drivers clip the exit of turn four, never with these consequences, though.
Yeah, it broke mid-corner there.
See where that left rear made contact with the concrete, and then four corners later, you can just see maybe an issue with the toe link there where it might have broke on the left rear from the earlier contact.
Harvey, just an innocent victim there, nowhere to go.
We go back racing here at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. And the last two guys to win the last two Indianapolis 500s are first and second in this race.
Team Penske and then Andretti. Andretti is Ericsson and Herta looking pretty racy down shoreline.
You saw Joseph Newgarden almost doing his Indy 500 trick, trying to weave down the front straightaway as we see Lundgaard making a move there on Kyle Kirkwood into turn one.
Graham's been fairly happy, a little slow on the fuel. This may be costly. It didn't look like it's flowing. That is going to ruin Rahal's any chances.
Oh, no.
Sideways. Is it going?
Oh, no. You saw the fueler with his left hand twisting like there was a valve or something that he was working to open there.
Yeah, you can manually open up the butterfly and get the fuel flowing, but devastating result there for Graham Rahal with such a strong weekend.
Oh, there goes that.
And now, Tim Cindric giving Newgarden Herta updates.
There he is. Here they come, and he's dragging Alex Palou along with him. This two-car fight could very quickly become a four-car fight in the closing 10 laps.
He's close, guys. This is as close as he's been, but you can tell by that acceleration. Dixon is using the button a little more. A few more seconds use that lap.
15 seconds left for Newgarden. He does not use it on that run. Oh! I thought he was going to send it.
Here comes Joseph Newgarden up into turn nine. He knows the pressure's coming from behind in Colton Herta, and there is traffic up ahead.
Yep, you've got rookie Kiffin Simpson, then Nolan Siegel in the red and white car, Santino Ferrucci,
Newgarden.
And Newgarden stalls in the hairpin.
Oh my goodness, Herta and Palou just slip him.
Gee, here's a replay of what happened to the two.
Oh. Hit up the back by Colton Herta. Don't forget the gearbox actuator is on the right-hand side of the gearbox.
If Scott Dixon can hang in there for the length of this back straight to turn nine, he is as good as home. Here it is, turn nine. You know, he's laid back. He takes everything in his stride, but he is very intense inside that helmet. Scott Dixon, it took him nine tries to win here at Long Beach. He's had podiums since, but he's gonna go back to the winner's circle. Scott Dixon wins the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach in the most improbable way.
Up next, it's the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix, Sunday, April 28th. Watch it at 1 p.m. on NBC.
You are on
the Pass podcast. There we go. What a great race that we had on Sunday. We will discuss that and recap that here momentarily. Congratulations to the Iceman, as you see right there, as Josh has it marked out. Scott Dixon showing that he still has it, even though there are a bunch of young guns on the series or on the circuit. Scott Dixon still has it and picking up career win, if you can believe that, number 56 on the season. Congratulations to him. As I said, welcome back. This is the Push to Pass podcast. I am Derek Vance, and joining me, as usual, you see up there on the screen, Josh Roberts as well. Josh, like I said, it's been a week. What an interesting and exciting race. Obviously, we'll get into that here shortly, but it's been about a week or so. How you been?
Oh, I'm doing good. Can't complain. It was an exciting race on Sunday, as you said, and we're looking forward to recapping that and also going on to checking out Barber, which is this week. It's hard to believe that we went for so long without a race, and now we have we're going to have four races within the span of about a month and a half. So this is actually about 2 months. You're going to have five races. So you're going to have a heck of a time over the next 2 months covering it. We can't wait to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely can't wait to get out to IMS, obviously, and cover both of those races. And then we just found out today that we are going to be able to cover Detroit as well. I can't wait for that. But before we get into all of that, we do have some more races. Like you said, we have two. We have Long Beach to discuss tonight, and then preview the Grand Prix, Children's of Alabama Grand Prix. Coming up on Sunday. Also, too, Mike, as usual, is going to be joining us to recap the weekend that it was in betting for IndyCar, and then to preview, like I said, Children of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. And then, Josh, I think we have something exciting for everybody. I know we promised it last week. We ran into a little bit of a hiccup, but we do have something exciting there towards the end of the show. Do you want to tell the audience what that is?
Well, you know, I'm an avid card collector occasionally, and this product came out some time ago. It's the IndyCar Series trading card thing. There is 8 cards in a pack. There's 20 packs. So you're going to break 10. I'm going to break 10. And we're going to see if we can hit a one of one or a serial number, or there's supposed to be 2 autos. So we'll see which drivers we get. And there's also a chase card of, if we get it, it's a relic of some dust or some brick dust that is it's actually embedded into the card from the yard of bricks that Joseph Newgarden was able to cross over this past last May to win the Indy 500. So at the end of the show, we'll be busting those and seeing what kind of goodies we can get.
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, younger, I was a avid baseball card collector as well, and I was excited to see that IndyCar is going to be coming out with their own set of trading cards as well. And just so you know, I do have the packs there that Josh alluded to right there, so we will get to them as before we close out the show today. But Josh, it is time, like I said, to discuss what took place. What we've seen this past weekend there in the streets of Long Beach there for the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. I have 5 takeaways that I was able to publish on my Substack, which I put out on social media. But I want to hear your recap of the race. I know you were able to watch it. I was driving home from Ohio, so I got to listen to about the last 20 laps or so with the great Mark James and company there on IndyCar Radio, on the IndyCar Radio Network. But you were able to watch it there. I want to get your observations, what you've seen, and I'll give you my 5 takeaways, and then we can discuss each one of them.
Well, I have a couple. I have three takeaways. The first one is some of those turns, You know, if you look, at the map, and they look like hairpin turns, and they look like they're going to be treacherous to navigate. But then you watch the race, and it's even harder. I mean, there were ones where they were going into turns, and I mean, they probably had this much room in between their tires of how of going into those turns, and it just. I don't know how some of them didn't wreck into the wall a lot more. You know, you saw some of them hit the wall and do some damage to their cars. But you know, it takes some guts and some testicular fortitude to be able to stick it in there and go at the speeds that they're going down some of those straightaways and going into those hairpin turns. My second point is, you know, they say Father Time catches up with everyone. Well, you know, when you're a racer, Scott Dixon says I can run. Father Time, he's got a Vespa. I got an IndyCar. I'm gonna keep running away from him because he just seems to year after year after year. You know, you count him out and he just comes back and he's like, I'm gonna win. I can't believe it took him 9 tries to be able to win at Long Beach, but nonetheless, he won again and took his name higher on the all-time win list. So that's just amazing. And my third and final one, which is very controversial because it ended up helping me win our pick'em this week, but the fact that race control cannot seem to figure out what avoidable contact is and what avoidable contact is not. One of the best drivers on the circuit, Pato O'Ward, gets a drive-through penalty and, you know, thus ending his day pretty much, not going to have for what they called avoidable contact. And then getting down late into the race with about 8 or 9 laps to go, you have Colton Herta drives into the back of Joseph Newgarden, thus stalling Newgarden out long enough, just that short amount of time that Herta was able to drive around him and take second place, which he would ultimately finish it. Behind Scott Dixon Newgarden would actually lose another spot to the defending series champion and Pillow. You know, Pillow coming in third, you know, he was unassuming all day, didn't really show much, but got a podium. But just the fact that race control can't seem to figure out what's avoidable control and avoidable contact and what's not, because both of those collisions looked the same to me, and they chose to not penalize Herta later on in the race as they did Alex Pillow. And those are my 3 takeaways from this past weekend at Long Beach.
Let me ask you something on your last point about race control and avoidable contact. Do you think, you know, and we're only on race number 2 of this 2024 NTT IndyCar season. Do you think race control, in your opinion, is setting a precedent as to what is avoidable contact and what is not down the line this season?
It's hard to say with only 2 races, but they're setting, if they're setting anything, they're setting a dangerous precedent. They're setting a dangerous precedent that if the contact is earlier in the race, they're going to call it. But when you get down to the nitty gritty, when it comes down to the end, they choose not to, I think they chose not to throw that because they felt like it would maybe tarnish the ending of it. But if you're going to call it on one, you got to call it on everyone. You know, be what we say at the jail, be firm, fair, and consistent. You know, just because it's later on in the race and it was going to take one of the heavy favorites out, Colton Herta, out of the running, doesn't mean that you don't throw it. You either throw it every time or you don't. You know, to use a football analogy, you're either going to call holding on every play or you're not. Because you can't just call it on select plays that, you know, you saw it, but it could affect the outcome of the game. You can't do that. You have to call it right down the middle. Call it for one, call it for the other. Don't, because you've jeopardized the legitimacy of your sport if you're being selective in what you think.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with that. I think the precedent by race control is being set now, and the way that they're going to handle avoidable and non-avoidable contact going forward, you're going to see a different style of racing, especially when it comes to oval racing. It may not be as much in street courses, and you'll probably still have it. But I think the racer's mindset, obviously, is going to change when we get to the oval here in the next weeks, the end of May, and everybody knows what comes at the end of May. But my five takeaways that I wrote about on Monday, I actually wrote them a day after because I end up going back on Peacock Josh and watching a replay of the race, which surprised me how quick that race was. Actually, and like I said, like we alluded to beginning, Scott Dixon used a great pit strategy there to hold off a fellow Californian, Colton Herta, by 0.7998 seconds to collect his 56th career NTT IndyCar Series victory at Long Beach on Sunday. And he extended a streak, Josh. And how amazing is this? We look at, we're both huge pro wrestling fans, and you remember the week that the Undertaker had at WrestleMania when he was undefeated until Brock Lesnar broke that streak. Well, did you know that Scott Dixon, in his 20 car series, he has scored a victory in 21.
Sorry, you were cutting out there. You asked, can I believe that he scored victories in 21 straight seasons? Is that what you were alluding to?
Yes, he has scored a victory in 21-22 seasons that Dixon has participated in the NTT IndyCar Series.
That's staggering. I mean, that is, like you said, it's use the Undertaker analogy. I can't believe that. I mean, just to be that consistent in for that long in a sport that is ever growing, ever developing, the technology. I mean, we imagine 22 years ago what the IndyCar looked like and performed like. It's probably light years behind what it is now and what it's going to be whenever the hybrid car comes in. So just to think that he's been so consistent to be able to, you know, he may not be able to win the series, but he can win a race in 21 of 22 seasons is mind blowing. And every IndyCar driver out there can learn a little bit from him and strive to be a little bit more like him, just as consistent as he is. And that's probably why he makes the big bucks, and he's going to go down as probably, if not one of the top five, maybe one of the top three IndyCar drivers of all time. He may not have the Indy 500 wins under his belt that some do, but like Helio, but just the fact that he's been able to do that is amazing.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. My first takeaway, Josh, from the race this weekend, I think has to do with the continued struggles from the Arrow McLaren team. I know we talked a lot about that team going into 2023, me in particular, and then going into this year as well. A lot of hype there. You know, that stable is made up of, as you said, the aforementioned there, Pato Award, and then Indianapolis 500 winner, Alexander Rossi, and then newly acquired David Malukas from HDM Motorsports, which has been basically MIA. And, I'm starting starting to wonder what the future hold for David Malukas with the Arrow McLaren. But be that as it may, obviously, Award and Rossi both going into last weekend's race. We're looking for their first wins since 2022. And then, like I said, Malukas just trying to get on the track due to a off-season injury. And the opening video there, an early race incident between Award and Rossi, which was surprising, I think, to a lot of people, really never made them players. In this race this past Sunday, and they finished 16th and 10th respectively, while rookie and F2 driver, and I always have a tough way pronouncing this, Theo Pechara, I believe that's how that's pronounced, who subbed in for Malukas, actually finished P11, so huge props to him. I know he had the he won the award, I think, highest finishing rookie or most passes. I can't remember which one it was. So, you know, interesting, Josh, what's going on over there at Arrow McLaren. So much hype in going into last season, going into the season. And again, the struggles continue. And then, you know, David Malukas, who was brought on by Arrow McLaren, by Zach Brown, who has not seen the track now in three races.
Oh yeah, I have been watching Arrow McLaren as a team as long as you have. I would say they had a breakout season a couple years ago where they were where that looked like they were the new kid on the block, and you know, I kind of compare it to you have a breakout freshman year in college. You know, you're the number one wide receiver, or you're the number one point guard. Because nobody knows you. Nobody really knows you. And then you get to your sophomore season and you have what they call the sophomore slump. And I feel like Arrow McLaren's gone into a sophomore slump and they just haven't been able to get out of it. You know, Pato, he's always there. Occasionally he's there to, you know, give Arrow give them a slim chance of hope that they're going to win, but they can't get over the slump. And I just think that they need to have a sit down with all the teammates, all the team members, and just figure out what is going wrong. Why are we struggling so much since we were freshman phenoms, and now we're in a sophomore slump. They need to get back to the winning ways. And I don't know what Arrow needs to do. I don't know if it's maybe change up the pit crews, maybe change up the teams a little bit. I know a couple years ago I can't remember if it was IndyCar or NASCAR, team owner decided he was going to switch up teams, you know, swap teams and pit crew and crew chiefs. And it ended up being, you know, at first it caused some problems, but it actually ended up being beneficial to the two teams. So I don't know, maybe Zach Brown needs to sit down and figure out something to shake it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see, but moving forward, what changes, if any, that Arrow McLaren make. My next takeaway from last Sunday's race has to do with Andretti Global. I thought they had a great day. Their qualifying on Saturday, all three of their cars were within the top 10 when it came to qualifying. And then at the finish of the race there, Colton Herta, who you picked to win the race on Sunday, ends up getting a podium finish, a second place finish. That is his 13th career podium. And then teammate Marcus Ericsson, who started P5, completed his best finish, obviously, with Andretti Global finishing at P5 as well. And then last year's race winner, Kyle Kirkwood, who started position P10 at the beginning of the race, finished in seventh position. So, Josh, all in all, I thought it was a great day for Andretti Global, getting all three of their cars there in the top 10.
Definitely. Andretti, you know, they've struggled some years, but this year they, especially on this race, as you said, yes, when you can take 30% of the top 10 and say your drivers were in that top 10, that's a great boost. That's a great morale builder for the entire team. I know going into Barber, they're going to they had a strong presence in Barber last year. So this past weekend's strong showing in Long Beach, I lost my train of thought. In Long Beach, it can do nothing but help this team build and grow, and possibly pick up a win in the next couple races.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I'm looking out for when it comes to Andretti is, are they building that momentum everybody likes to take into the month of May to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? My third takeaway from the race this weekend has to do with Felix Rosenqvist and him finding his way there in his new team at Meyer Shank Racing. I kind of wonder if Felix Rosenqvist is coming into his own with this new team. I know it's a small sample size, Josh, but so far in both points races this year, Felix Rosenqvist started on the outside of row one at St. Petersburg. And then on Sunday was the pole sitter at Long Beach. And then also, too, backing up those great qualifying positions by Rosenqvist. He also has two top 10 finishes in those races as well. So seems like to me Felix Rosenqvist is finding his footing there with his new team with Meyer Shank Racing.
Oh yeah, definitely. Anytime you go to a new team, you know, you left your old team and you go to a new team, and you know, there could be jitters or it could be, you know, miscommunicate. It takes a while to build a rapport with your new team, and that just the fact that he was able to sit on the pole and also have a top 10 finish this week, and have top 10 finishes in the two points races is a great start for him. I know Meyer Shank they were hot and heavy after him, and they went out and they got him as a free agent, and it's paying off, and it's also helping put Meyer Shank on the map a little bit. You know, they now have a driver that can consistently compete up there in the top 10 and possibly, you know, pull out a win one of these next coming races. So good to see Felix. I always like when drivers do well. There's only a couple of drivers I don't want to do well, and I'll never get into that. But Felix is having a hell of a season so far with Meyer Shank, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. My next takeaway from Sunday's race has to do with the manufacturers, specifically Honda, who I thought were the kings of the street on Sunday. If you go back to their performance at St. Petersburg, there was only four Honda drivers that made up the top 10 in the final race results. Well, they were able to flip that script on Sunday, where six of the 10 finishers in the top 10 obviously were Honda drivers. And with that happening, that gives Honda an early advantage when it comes to the manufacturer point standings.
Yep, Honda definitely needed a bounce back. They needed a bounce back week, and this is what they got. The engines performed well for all the Honda drivers, and it's a good thing. You know, there's always you always want that competition, and Honda showed out, and whatever they did whatever they did in the off weeks to be able to improve their engines and get their engines to not only go faster but also last longer and not not malfunction. Whatever they did it well, and it's going to be a battle for between the two engine manufacturers, and that's always a that's always an awesome thing to see.
Yeah, and my last takeaway obviously has to do with the winner of the race. You know, we all know that Scott Dixon obviously isn't getting any younger, but he showed on Sunday why around the paddock he is called the Iceman, fending off not only Joseph Newgarden towards the end of the race, who ended up getting involved in a late race incident, which obviously opened the door for Herta, and then Dixon had to slam that door shut right in front of Colton Herta to pick up his 56th career victory for the New Zealander. I'm not sure, Josh, what all can be said that has not been said already on this show and previous shows about the race winner on Sunday, Scott Dixon.
I mean, what could be said, you know, that hasn't already been said. One thing I do want to know is what kind of gas mileage does he get in his regular car? Because every time he wins, it's always they're always talking about he's able to save fuel. I'm not sure what strategy he has that can save fuel better than other drivers, but if he ever does retire, he could probably sell that strategy to the highest bidding team, and because that's all I ever hear is Scott Dixon's in the lead. He's gonna be can he conserve fuel, and then he gets to that last lap and they're like, he conserved so much fuel. To me, it looks like he's going the same speed, same thing everybody else is. What difference is he doing? So that's a trade secret that he has. But as always, Scott Dixon, the Iceman, just comes through, does well for his home country, New Zealand, and I'm at a loss for words for him. He is the dominator of IndyCar.
Well, I can give you a little bit of a hint as to how Scott Dixon is so great when it comes to saving fuel towards the end of the race. If you go listen to, after this show's over, obviously, if you go listen to the latest video that David Land puts out on YouTube about IndyCar, and David Land is a great creator of IndyCar content, he gives you, Josh, that answer to that specific question. And when you hear his answer, it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks, and you're going to be like, oh, wow, that's how. But yes, I would suggest going after this show's over, obviously, over to David Land on YouTube, and he will give you his latest video, that exact answer to that question that you just proposed there. So all of that being said, I haven't seen the the final race results. Let's throw them up on screen for everybody here real quick. We'll do a quick rundown of these before we get into some driver interviews. Obviously, Scott Dixon was your race winner, followed by Colton Herta, Alex Palou, Joseph Newgarden, Marcus Ericsson round out your top five. Then it's Will Power, Kyle Kirkwood, Roman Grosjean, Felix Rosenquist, Alexander Rossi, your top 10. Your highest
Hey Derek, you're muted, sir, so we're not hearing you. Still muted. Can't hear you. Let's see. Where were we at? We were ninth, Felix Rosenquist, 10th, Alexander Rossi, 11th, Theo P. There you go. You back? You're still breaking up on us. So I'm going to continue to read. 12th, we had Marcus Armstrong. 13th, we had Lunas Lundgaard. 14th, we had Rinus VK. Derek, you're still muted. I can't hear you. Your mic's not working. While we work through these technical difficulties, I do want to thank each and every one of our viewers that is out there that is viewing us and watching us on all the platforms and checking out and listening to us whenever they can. We do appreciate all our fans. Nope, it still sounds like your mic is out. So, nope. We do apologize about our technical difficulties. Derek is trying to fix this. We're not professionals by any means, so we want to apologize for the technical difficulties. It looks like Derek has logged off. He's going to log back on, see if that works. But some of the things we'll be talking about here shortly are our viewership of the Grand Prix of Long Beach. We will be talking about Barber, of course, Peter Parker's favorite track, as you would say, for the children of Alabama. Are we back?
All right, let's try this again.
There we go. We're back.
All right, I just ran through the standings there. Josh, anybody catch your eye that you thought had a great finish, or somebody that had a disappointing finish on Sunday?
Lunas Lundqvist, the newcomer, he really surprised me with how high up he was. No one really disappointed me. I'm never really disappointed. I'm disappointed that Pato got a bogus passing penalty because of what they deemed, as we talked about, the unavoidable contact. I'd love for somebody in race control to go out there, get in a car, go as fast as they can, and have a driver stop straight in front of them on that track and be able to stop and be able to move. You're not going to be able to do it. So that was some jankety crap. So Pato would be about the only one I was disappointed in, but I wasn't disappointed in him. I was disappointed in the fact that he was penalized for something that I didn't feel he should have been penalized for.
All right, let's get into some of the interviews that we were able to this weekend after the race, and then we will be back here momentarily.
On our weekend, couldn't get off in practice one, couldn't get off in practice two, didn't qualify well, so race was what it was. He took a gamble with the pit stops. Everyone can always Monday quarterback it, but we kind of figured we'd either end up in the top 10 or 20th, so we ended up 20th, so cars in one piece, we move forward to Barber.
Well, we have concluded the Long Beach Grand Prix here on somewhat of a high note. Really proud of the team. We had some really good pit stops. They were clean. We made up a few spots along the way on strategy and made up some spots in the end just based off of that early race incident and avoiding the attrition. So super proud of the team. Super proud of the progress we made through the weekend. We needed a really clean day. Today was that clean day. Now we can build momentum going into Barber. But I just want to thank the Prey.com crew. We're here on their front porch pretty much here in California. And having them all out here was good to have the support and cheers. And we're looking forward to the next one.
We essentially have lost the race a little bit. We had some issues with the brakes. They ran really hot, and I was just completely often my bias and had to chase it and just lacked braking performance and kept getting passed into turn one inside and outside. Yeah, it wasn't. I just didn't really have braking confidence. If you don't have that, you can't protect. You can't go forward. So we had to look at that. It's something that we've been figuring out. Like 2-3 laps have been good, and then anything beyond that has just been going a little bit out of control. So, but anyways, the guys did well. I think we kept our heads cool. Anyways, even if it sucks, like it sucks going plummeting.
Well, the good news is you got a week to bounce right back, right? When we get to Barber, is there anything from this track, a street course, that translates to a road course where you maybe
first real full-length standard IndyCar race is done. It was a long one. The guys did a great job. The car was way better in the race than I think it has been all weekend, so props to them for making that improvement. And we had good stops, and overall it went smoothly. Picked up 7 spots. Pace seemed pretty strong. It's really hard to pass around here, but I feel good, and overall I'm happy with the day. So huge thank you to everyone that's helped me along the way and this weekend, and see if we can do better in Indy.
To be honest, the first part of the race, we'd moved up a couple spots on the opening laps, and then Rasmussen spun, and honestly, I had nowhere to go, and he hit me as he was spinning back down the track, and then hit the wall again. You know, damaged the floor, damaged the sidepod, just lost a ton of downforce and grip because of that, and that was pretty much the race. So I think the positives from the weekend were, I do think we were better today than we were yesterday. I think we moved the car along, so hopefully we can just continue a little bit of momentum that we built there. Obviously, it didn't show in the race, unfortunately, but if we can keep progressing through, if we can start progressing through a weekend, how we finished yesterday, moving into today, I think we should we should start seeing some real progress here soon for Dale Coyne Racing.
P16 to P8, that was a great Long Beach Cup week for us. Augustine did a great race as well. As a team, we can be proud of that. We improved a lot from St. Pete, and I'm happy that we were able to show such a strong outing on that racetrack. Can't wait for next week in Barber.
Another top 15 for us. We are really happy. The execution was really, really good. Unfortunately, the strategy wasn't the best at the end. We had bad luck, honestly, with the strategy. We expect another situation with the other cars. But anyway, the execution was perfect. Thanks for the whole team. Excellent pit stop. The pace was incredible. We can finish in a good top 15 in a really, really difficult race. Very high level for everybody. Top 15, more points. We are really happy and go for more in the next race.
Bad day for us. Went wrong, I guess, at the start. Just got a big traffic jam at the fountain and did some damage to the wing, we kind of messed things up today, but it's just one of those days in motorsport where you have to learn a lot and make sure you don't repeat these mistakes. Ultimately we changed the wing, but we did it probably at the wrong time, and cost us not really a fun day.
In terms of just obviously fuel save was a big factor, you're very good, you didn't have to do it again. You feel like you're picking up lessons with every race in terms of how to extract the most performance out of the car with the fuel save?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment we're learning not what to do, what not to do, I guess, instead of, we got to take the small positives, I guess, from it. Obviously right now I'm frustrated with how the weekend's gone. So yeah, just need to iron out all the errors really, and otherwise, until the end, that's what our focus needs to be at.
That were able to give us a little bit of audio, a little bit of their thoughts after the race on Sunday. I know Josh was alluding to earlier our race picks, so let's throw them up on screen for everyone. You can see that Josh, due to a late race incident by Joseph Newgarden, was able to collect the point for this week. Both myself and Devlin both went with Joseph Newgarden, and we were sitting in the catbird seat until those last few laps there, where Newgarden had the late race incident, and Colton Herta was able to pull ahead of Joseph Newgarden's. So, so far in the 2024 season, you see the running tallies right there. I have one correct. Josh has one correct. And Devlin is still waiting to put his first point up there on the board as well. As we wait for Mike to join us here to look at the betting aspect of this past weekend and then coming up at Alabama, let's switch over to our sponsors. Always love showing them a little bit of love here on the Push to Pass podcast. First, Always Ready 1776 for all of your patriotic apparel, headwear, and more. Go check out Always Ready 1776 at alwaysready1776.com. And if you do choose to buy something from there, use the promo code that you see up on screen, Push to Pass, for 10% off of your order. And then also, too, don't forget the great people over at Getem Associates. For all of your home design, build, and remodeling needs, remember, it's Getem Associates, and you can find them at getem.com. And then also, if you use the promo code Push to Pass, you will get $250 off any design service. Huge thank you both to Always Ready 1776 and Getem Associates for being sponsors here on the Push to Pass podcast. Speaking of Mike, just as we talk about him, look, there he appears. We're waiting for Josh to come back and join us. Mike, interesting weekend at the racetrack. I can't wait to hear the money that you may or may not have brought home here this past weekend.
Yeah, man. I'm going to try to stay calm. I told myself I wasn't going to fly off the handle, but that race was frustrating. I was set to make a ton of money. I had bets on Newgarden, top to win, Newgarden top three. I had bets on Power, so that looked great for half the race. Had bets on Herta top three. Everything was going smoothly. It looked like Herta was going to coast to that top three. Newgarden was going to track down Dixon. And even if Newgarden didn't track down Dixon, it still was going to be a very profitable week. And then Herta rear-ended him in the hairpin. And I watched all of my profit just fly out the window. So, yeah, so it was frustrating. One, it was frustrating that Dixon won. I don't understand how he does it. Like, it's crazy when you hear all the other drivers. I don't know if you guys had Devlin on earlier. I'd love to ask him. Like, I don't know. I was talking to Tony. I think Chip Ganassi's cheating. I think we need to, like, check the fuel tank. I don't know. There's some shenanigans going on. How in the world, even all the other drivers are confused how this guy can save fuel and save tires like he does and win these races. But yeah, from a betting perspective, I felt like it was one of those races. It was a bad beat, man. Had everything right. I felt like 99% of the race, I was well into the green to profit, had everything going. Even if the strategy with Power worked out, Power was the only guy on different tires. So I had bets on him to win in top three as well. So that would have been profitable. But yeah, it didn't turn out well. The second Herta anti-stalled. Newgarden still cashed a Herta top three, but was not on Dixon at all. And yeah, there was a couple of people. We talked about betting Pelot. I talked about betting Pelot top five, top three. So a lot of people did cash that 2-1 ticket. I didn't have that because I was invested heavily in Joseph and Herta and Power. So wasn't to be, and we'll move on to the next race.
Well, Mike, before I let Josh jump in on this, we were talking about the same exact thing about how Scott Dixon has such an advantage when it comes to fuel saving. And I have the answer to your question. If you have a little bit of time, obviously after our show, go over and check out the newest video that David Land, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, a great creator of content of IndyCar. David Land explains exactly how Scott Dixon is such great when it comes to fuel saving. And I think after you hear his explanation, I think the wheels are going to turn and it's going to click with you. But that's what I would suggest. Go over when our show's done and check out the newest video David Land did today. And he explains why Scott Dixon is so great when it comes to fuel saving.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. I mean, what's, you know, I'm assuming, my guess, like, he was pretty smart. He used 2 seconds to push the pass on the straightaway where he could get past, and then he doesn't use fuel in the places he can't get past. So I don't know, but it's crazy how the drivers are all – that's what's wild to me, how the other drivers are like, how did that even happen? Even power on the same strategy, how did that happen when they're all questioning, like, how he shows up there? So anyway, but yeah, so we'll move on to Barber. I got some ready to jump back on the horse and get the profits rolling again. So I felt like I had the right handicap for that race, but it's IndyCar. It doesn't always work out. What's up, Josh?
Not a whole lot. Sorry. Josh, sorry, I had some technical difficulties there. I don't know what happened, but I didn't bet any money this week, but if I would have, I would have bet her to at least top five and made a little bit of money, but all my money's being saved for a Tunica, Mississippi trip I've got coming up. So if anyone could guarantee me money, I'd take all my money and put it on someone this weekend, but I don't know if that's possible, but this coming track, Barbara, as we watched last year, it's a tricky track. It's a road course. So, I can't wait to see how it goes. I'm just excited that we have back-to-back races and back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, it's nice to actually have that going. And then obviously the month of May. Yeah, so for this race, as far as betting goes, obviously we don't have any numbers out yet. If the sports books stick to what they've been doing, like either you're going to be either very late Thursday night or first thing Friday, we'll start to see some pre-practice numbers and pre-practice lines get out there. I expect Pelot to be the favorite of the race. I think he deserves to be like a 3 or 4 to 1 favorite. You never know. They might post him 7 to 8 to 1. That's what they kind of did with the top faves last week. They could make Joseph the favorite, and Pelot would be maybe second or third favorite. So, you know, Pelot's number is something I got an eye on. I think he's, shown he's been pretty dominant at these tracks. But Pelot top three, Pelot top five, if you can get those numbers, those are something I'm going to be keeping my eye on. The other guys I'm looking at is a bounce back week. I think McLaughlin and Award. McLaughlin won this race last year, but he has a history of being bad fast at this track. So I think he just had some bad luck. He was pushing hard last week. He admittedly said he made a mistake in qualifying. So if there's a number that gets hung on McLaughlin in the 10, 11 to 1 range, even higher, there's vacation money right there for you. If you want to put a couple bucks on that, I think we might get a good McLaughlin number because of his poor performance last week. I don't know, maybe not because he won last year, but we'll see. So McLaughlin, Award is quick too at this track. This is another Award top three bet for me, but it'll come down to qualifying. Save your money until post, save a portion of your money until after qualifications. I think the winner, 77% of the time, the winners come from one of the first two rows. So you want to see what happens in qualifying, and it's hard to predict qualifying in IndyCar. You know, one little mistake and you're done. These guys are within thousands. You saw, Power and Felix last week. Power probably should have had that pole. So I think keep an eye on the numbers as they come out, keep an eye on practices, and then follow me on Twitter. I'll post stuff as I see it and post numbers as I see them. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if we can bounce back this week.
Good stuff, Mike. Good stuff as always. Derek, did you have anything else for Mike before we let him go?
Mike, is there any chance that you would put money on Scott Dixon with all the momentum he grabbed this past weekend at Long Beach? Would you go into Alabama, into Birmingham, and put a little money on Scott Dixon as well?
Nope. He luck boxes his way in all these races. I don't know. That's probably not fair. He doesn't luck. He's definitely like, I don't know. It's the way he wins these races, I just shake my head. I don't think it's like that's to me, it's not a sustainable thing, even though he's good for it a couple times a year. But I still think that he'll probably get another win this year doing the same thing he just did with some fuel saving strategy and tire strategy. But I don't think that this is the race for that. So I won't really be on him. I mean, though he did perform okay last year at this race, but even, you know, you saw he didn't qualify well at Long Beach. Like he took the same strategy Power did. I don't know how Power didn't make it work with a really good car and Dixon got around him. I was, you know, when Dixon got around Power when they were in that dirty air, I was just befuddled. Like I thought that was going to be a Power win and a Dixon second if that strategy worked. So the fact that it didn't work out for Power, but it worked out for Dixon, I still, Power's got to be just shaking his head because he had such a dominant car, it seemed like, in clean air. They shouldn't have, you know, done what they did. But, yeah, I don't know. No, I don't. So, Dixon's a pass for me. He'll, like, look, I have a bet against him for the year. I don't have him winning more than two races, so, or more than three races. It's under 2.5, which I'm really happy I have 2.5 now and not 2, because I do think he'll probably get one somewhere. And that's just going to be a week I probably lose. Hopefully I'll hit top threes and top fives and matchups that week to and not get bit by him. But I can't see myself betting him because it's just, you know, everything's got to be perfect for him to win those races. And he's got to do his little fuel and tire saving strategy. And there are some tracks maybe that you can look at that. But I just don't think he has just like the straight pace that everybody else has.
All right, and as you see on screen, weather is definitely going to be picture perfect there, to say the least. Mid 80s is your high, and a lot of sun this weekend, so should make for some interesting racing. Mike, last question that I have: any dark horse that you would put money on? I think it's pretty impressive run this past weekend for Aero McLaren's Theo Porsche. Is that somebody you might take a look at as maybe a dark horse?
No. Is Power a dark horse? Is he going to be a dark horse at 15-1, 14-1 again? I think he's got something brewing this year. He's kind of in a better headspace and coming back. So I don't know if that counts. But, man, I don't think we're going to see too many long shot winners on these races this year. I think you have your big teams and you have, you know, you don't even really have a mid-tier, and then you have these guys that just don't have it. Like, you saw Felix last week. Like, yeah, there might be guys that qualify well, every now and then, but, like, Felix just – I mean, it didn't take but, what, two laps, and he was down to third or fourth, and then he got ate up in the pits. So, yeah, I'm not going to really want any part of any long shots. Now, when we get to ovals, that might be a different story, but when it comes to the street and the road courses, I think you're just chasing stuff.
Mike, good stuff as always. We'll be looking at your Twitter that's been, or X that's been running at the bot, scrolling around the bottom of the screen there, and see if you and Tony decide to do a space this weekend where people can get a lot of information from as well. Huge thank you, and we will talk to you next week, and hopefully you made some people and yourself a little bit of coin.
Sounds good, boys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Josh, good stuff there by Mike, and I would betting specifically IndyCar and really other sports for that matter. Definitely check out Mike there on Twitter at Indy_bets because he will definitely lead you in the right direction.
Yep, Mike's a long. Long time handicapper, and I'm sure he makes good coin, being able to predict and be able to be on the correct side of betting. I may win every once in a while, but I'm nowhere near as good as Mike at handicapping stuff.
All right. Before we get into opening up a box of IndyCar trading cards, can't wait for that. We do have a little news and notes to get to. And what we have to bring you in the news and notes section, Josh, I think has to be definitely on the disappointing side. This came out earlier today, so we have the advantage since we do a live show later in the evening on Tuesdays. We have the advantage of talking about this live as it come out. But earlier today, the numbers from the USA Network came out for the viewership for Sunday's race. It was just TV only, obviously not on well, I guess it would have been on Peacock. That's how I watched it. But on the USA Network, 307,000 viewers. I know it's probably tough to compete with other sports on the weekends for IndyCar, but no direct comparison because last year this race was on NBC rather, and got 1.26 million viewers. Now, I was telling you earlier, and I was hoping Devlin was going to be able to be on, but he had a prior engagement. So hopefully we'll be able to talk about this maybe next week. But outside of the Indianapolis 500, the Long Beach race is kind of the second biggest race on the IndyCar season, IndyCar schedule. But with that being the case, Josh, it's interesting because IndyCar doesn't market this as one of their biggest races outside of the Indianapolis 500. So that may be one of the, you know, one of the many reasons as to why viewership was drastically down, not only because it was on it and it was on NBC last year, on USA Network this year, but IndyCar again takes a hit, I think, when it comes to the marketing department and the way that that they market their marquee races.
Yeah, we've said that all along. I watch Raw every week, and not once did I see a maybe I missed it, but not once did I see an IndyCar ad. That's a big time promotional thing you could have done during Monday Night Raw. WWE brings in so many viewers, over 2 million viewers each week to them, and to not have one ad come up during that whole broadcast, and it's a 3-hour broadcast, so there's quite a few commercials. For you not to market it and not put it there, that's stupid. I know USA is not NBC. It's not what I would call a core broad. It's on cable. It's on cable. So, but most people nowadays have cable. So they have USA. So it's not like it's like a Spike TV or some pop channel. It's a well-known network, and it's a well-known network for sports. A lot of people don't know. Maybe they don't know there's college basketballs on there. College football over the last couple of years has been on there. They broadcast Premier League soccer on there. So I hope that I don't watch Premier League soccer, but I hope that they were broadcasting and advertising on those on the Premier League channels whenever they were playing games. But this is just abysmal. Even if you want to say that they ran the same time as Talladega for the other motorsports, not even breaking 350,000 viewers is crazy. I'd be interested to know if they could go back and look and see how many people watched it live on Peacock, because I watched it live on Peacock because I thought that was the only place to watch it. I knew it wasn't on NBC. I didn't know anything about it being on USA, so I watched it on Peacock. But once again, if you're gonna say, or you're gonna market or say that Long Beach is your second highest, as far as prestige, second highest race of the year, and you don't advertise it well, you're never going to do any well. And especially seeing they had so many weeks before Long Beach to advertise it, not for me not to see it. And I watch TV quite often. So just another letdown for the chance to grow IndyCar.
Yeah, Josh, can't agree more. And hopefully IndyCar is able to make up for it next week. Again, when they go to Birmingham, Alabama, and race on the road course there. One last thing before we drop the checkered flag and get on out of here, Josh. We talked about breaking open some IndyCar trading cards. So I'm going to let you do the first break and see what you get, and then I will follow suit. I would unmute, Josh. It makes things easier.
It does. I was saying magic. Let's get some good cards here. Let's get some good autos. I know I saw one. There you go. That's the box topper. The Malukas. It's a larger card. It comes on top. I'm terrible at opening these. I don't want to bend them, but there we go. Let's see. Who did we get? We got an IndyCar, Indy 500, Agustin Canapino. Let's see. This one is a Joseph Newgarden, 1506 total laps led. It says King of the Corn on the back, King of Corn. We have a podium finishing one for St. Pete of last year. It's got the first, second, and third winners, first, second, and third placers. Marcus Ericsson, Pato Award, and Scott Dixon, if anyone remembers that race from last year. We have Arenas VK. This one's got a nice background to it. Arenas VK, a little shiny background. Felix Rosenquist of Arrow McLaren. That's his Liberty as yellow, his orange and blue. Jack Harvey makes a great card. And last but not least in this pack, we have Ryan Hunter Ray. Very nice cards.
All right, the first pack that I opened, right off the bat, we have the NTT IndyCar logo right there. And then we go to a Marcus Ericsson, the winner of the 107th Indianapolis 500 right there. And the next card that we have is a Will Power, 15 consecutive seasons with a pole position. This is a 2023 marquee moments. Will Power right there. And then we have a gentleman that is in the Indy Next series right here, number 27, Hunter McElroy. I believe we've had him on before. And then we have a 2024 series here, Pato Award. Nice shiny background right there. And the next one we have in the first pack here is Roman Grosjean in the Andretti Autosport camp there from last year. And the next one that we have is Noblesville, Indiana's own Connor Daly, right there in the number 20 for Ed Carpenter Racing. And then last in the first pack that I have, again, is number 8, Marcus Ericsson, right there.
Very nice. Okay, we've got another Renus VK. Very nice, very nice. We have a Joseph Newgarden. This is... The Indy 500, I believe this is one from the Indy 500. This is an action photo of his car. Next one, we have, just like I got one for St. Pete, I got one for Toronto of last year. The three top finishers, Christian Lundgaard, Alex Palou, and Colton Herta. That's Lundgaard on the front. We got my favorite driver. We got his car. Stingray Rob. Look at that. That's a nice sharp card. And then we got another Joseph. We got a Joseph Newgarden card. One of his looks like he's on an oval. Jack Harvey. This is a nice one of Jack Harvey. Look at that. And then the next one we have Alex Palou, the defending NTT IndyCar Series champion. Nice shiny background there. That's a pit pass card. And just to celebrate his win of this past weekend, Scott Dixon. Nice shiny Scott Dixon card.
Good stuff there. I am going to play spoiler. I have a autograph in pack number 2. First one is going to be the only female in last year's Indianapolis 500. Catherine Legg is the first card I pull out of there. And the next one is a shot of the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 in the Penske livery there, Scott McLaughlin. The next one in this pack, this is a fastest front row in Indianapolis 500 history. It has Felix Rosenquist, Rinus VK, and Alex Palou. Right there. Good shiny card right there. That's pretty cool to see. And the next one, here it is, the autograph. This gentleman is in Indy next. Louis Foster with the autograph right there. And that's the one thing Josh pointed out about these cards is the autograph is actually a autograph. It is not a autograph sticker, which is really cool. And somebody that was on got bumped out of the Indianapolis 500, but was able to make it in the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 right there, Graham Rahal. And I got 3 left here. Joseph Newgarden, your winner in last year's race, his card right there. Next is your 2023 NTT IndyCar Series champion, Alex Palou. And the last card in pack number 2 is Simon Pagenaud.
Nice cards, and hopefully maybe that auto that we got will appreciate later on in life. You know, hold on to it. Maybe he'll be a future Indy 500 winner. Okay, the next first one I've got on my first one, I have Felix Rosenquist. Then I've got Ed Carpenter. Obviously, with there not being as many drivers as you know, you typically you would see, you know, lots of basketball players. You're going to get a lot of duplicates. We have had this driver on our show for Able Sports Motor, RC Enerson. Maybe we can catch up with RC and we can get this one autographed. That one's a nice one. Always we got the bridesmaid here, Pato Award in his great looking Liberty car. Then another car. This one is from Junkos Hollinger Racing, crossing the yard of bricks. Augustine Canapino in his nice sky blue and white car. And we have another Scott Dixon. This one, that one looks a little shiny. Got the.
Josh, I think you froze up there for a minute. Well, hopefully he is able to become unfrozen there. When he does, we'll get back to the pack that he opened. But for right now, I'll go into the next one that I have. As we see, he'll be logging back on here shortly. Tony Kanaan last year running his last Indianapolis 500 there for Arrow McLaren. Next one, I know he just talked about having this card, Augustine Canapino right there. And I do see that Josh is back, so let's get back to him.
I had two cards left. I don't know what happened. Like I said earlier on the way, technology, it's just not on our side. But this one's a really nice one. This one is it's basically the Alex Palou and his and the thing, the graphic they came out with when he clinched the IndyCar Series Championship. And the last one I had, it is a helmet. It's a helmet hardware, as they have it, of Christian Lundgaard. Okay.
All right, getting back to the pack that I had while Josh was becoming unfrozen. This is an interesting card. This is 7th consecutive top 10 finish of the year, and that is of Alexander Rossi. Again, a 2023 marquee moments there for Arrow McLaren's Alexander Rossi. And the next one I have, this is an interesting card here. This is Iconic Images from 2023. It's the streets of Long Beach. So somebody took that picture right there. That's pretty cool for somebody to do. Got to give them credit for that. And then another Arrow McLaren driver, as I think Josh just got this card, Pato Award. So we got another Pato Award card in the collection. I have three more here. Again, another Alex Palou there. This is actually at Mid-Ohio last year, one of the many races that Alex Palou was able to win last year en route to the NTT IndyCar Series Championship. David Malukas last year with HMD Motorsports. So David Malukas right there. And then the last one of this pack, again, going to run the Indianapolis 500 this year, Takuma Sato. So right there, Takuma Sato.
Well, my next pack has some really good ones to it. We're going to start out with Kyle Kirkwood in his pink car. Then we go on to Hy-Vee and the from Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan, the Christian Lundgaard's car. We have, looks like Joseph Newgarden. This is from the Indy 500. This is his picture of him sitting in his car. This one's really interesting. This is a picture of all the drivers that were that were in the Indy 500 last year, sitting on the yard of bricks right next to the BorgWarner Trophy. And I wish he was here. I have our good friend, Devlin DeFrancesca. Look at Jesco. Look at that one. I am definitely. We're going to meet up in Indy sometime, and I'm going to get that one signed. Then I have Felix Rosenquist. Got the shiny background or the sides. This one is really cool. This is Christian Lundgaard. He is shaving his beard and mustache. That's an interesting card. And the first card that we have that is numbered, we have Jack Harvey. It's a blue refractor. This one's out of 99. There's only 99 of these cards made. Blue refractor, 99 out of 99. Good pack there. I like that pack.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to see if we can get RC and Devlin to sign those cards, and maybe they will up their value. Next pack that I have goes back to Lunas Lundqvist last year driving for Meyer Shank Racing. And next after that is going to be, again, another Alex Palou. This was from the Indianapolis 500, 2023 Indianapolis 500 results card there for Alex Palou. And then the next one we have is a pit pass of five-time Indianapolis 500 winner, Elio Castroneves, right there. So a nice pit pass there of Elio. And then the next one, again, another Indy Next driver, James Rowe, right there. So a lot of Indy Next drivers that we have pulled out so far. And we'll go back to the Team Penske there. Scott McLaughlin, good livery there on the McLaughlin machine. And then again, another Alex Palou, this time after his win at Road America. Another Alex Palou card. So that's got to be maybe the most cards that we have so far. And then I have the other Hukos Hollinger from last year, Callum Ilott right there. And the last card in the pack goes to another Aero McLaren driver, Alexander Rossi.
Well, from one Aero McLaren to another, Pato O'Ward. This is his car that he raced at the Indy 500 last year. Then we have Andretti Auto Sports with Colton Herta. This is the car he drove. I didn't say which one. You probably tell me which one, but yeah, Colton Herta. We have a Will Power with Team Penske. The Connor Daly from the Indianapolis 500 last year. The sitting in his car. Then this iconic photo. This is probably one of the most iconic photos ever. Joseph Newgarden getting out of the car, pumping his fist, getting ready to run up into the crowd and just be a madman and go up there and celebrate with the fans. And then our nice fancy looking ones. We have we got one of Santino Ferrucci, the Indy 500, sitting in his car. This one is This is one of his seventh consecutive finishes, top 10 of the year, Alexander Rossi. And then one of those cards that you showed earlier. It's a photo that a fan took at Worldwide Technology. It's his iconic moments. It's a really interesting one. It's kind of out of focus, but it looks really cool. I mean, the light kind of refracts off of it, so it doesn't show it as well, but it's a really cool looking card. That's all for that pack.
All right, the next pack that I have, again, we're going to start out with the hometown kid. I don't know if I'm a kid anymore. Ed Carpenter right here, this card right there crossing the yard of okay, that's not the yard of bricks, sorry. Next one is Marco Andretti right there in the number 98 machine. And following him is going to be another marquee moment. It's Pato O'Ward with 20 on-track passes. So a 2023 marquee moment there for Pato O'Ward. And then next, we have the Iowa card here where Joseph Newgarden swept at Iowa last year. So that card. And we come back to another NTT IndyCar Series logo card right there. We have two of those. And I find this interesting. The last three cards, Josh, in this pack are all Joseph Newgarden. Joseph Newgarden here. Joseph Newgarden here. And Joseph Newgarden here at Texas last year.
That is one heck of a pack. Okay. I'm going to start out with Kyle Kirkwood sitting in his car at the 107th running of the Indy 500. Then I've got Marcus Ericsson of his car. Then we move on to Alexander Rossi one of his cars. And I believe this one is of an Indy Next driver, because it doesn't ring a bell. Ernie Francis Jr. I would assume you could tell me he is an Indy Next. Yep, down there it says Indy Next, if I would read right. Then my next one is, I have Scott McLaughlin in his yellow car. Another Alex Palou. I mean, if we could get all these signed by the current champ, they would be worth some money. And then this one is again Alex Palou. That's a different one. They both say that they're from the 107th running. That's Pato Award. I am an idiot. I'm sorry. I missed them. And then, of course, this one you've already shown. We have another duplicate of the 20 on-track passes at one of the tracks for Pato Award.
All right, the next pack that I have first coming out of the box is Takuma Sato, so another Takuma Sato card there. And the next one I have, again, another David Malukas right there. So that gives us two David Malukas cards. This card here is a marquee moment from 2023. This is the fastest qualifying lap by a female driver, Catherine Legg, 231.596 miles an hour. So pretty cool looking card there. Okay, next one. I know you've talked about this helmet hardware. This comes from Junkos Hollinger's Callum Ilott. So another helmet card there for Callum Ilott from last year. And then we have the Indianapolis 500 logo from last year, and the cool slogan on the back, "This is May." And that's exactly right. That is coming up right around the corner. And then we go back to another Elio Castroneves card right there. And back to Marco Andretti. I know we've already opened up one Marco Andretti this evening. And then the last card in this pack is a Marcus Ericsson, his win at St. Petersburg to open the 2023 season last year. Josh, you might want to unmute.
I'm going to go through the next couple pretty fast, because we're starting to run into a lot of duplicates. But Santino Ferrucci, Will Power. We've got one of Scott Dixon's car. We have Graham Rahal, Callum Ilott's car. This one looks like Will Power changing his own tire. He times are tough. He has to change his own tire. Joseph Newgarden. And then this one's a cool one. This is an iconic moment. That would be, hold on, there we go. Palou, that would be him kissing the that big trophy that he won for winning the championship. That's all for that pack.
All right, my next one here, again, another card of Catherine Legg. The next one that I have is another Simon Pagenaud, another winner of the Indianapolis 500. And following that is a marquee moments in 2023, a busy day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Single day record for qualifying attempts, 84. That card right there, pretty cool information right there. Next one that I have is a iconic image from the 2023. This is at Barber Motorsports Park. Kind of tough to see right there, but a fan took that picture there at Barber, where we're headed to this weekend. The next card is a 2023 class photo. all of the drivers that took place in Indianapolis 500 in 2023. That's a pretty neat card right there. Again, another David Malukas, as I throw one on the ground there, another David Malukas card right there. And then the last two in here, again, another Marco Andretti right there. And Tom Blomqvist from Meyer-Shank Racing rounds out that pack.
Okay. I'm going to start out with Marco Andretti, Ed Carpenter, local hero, Scott McLaughlin. This is him at Barber. That is him. Scott McLaughlin winning at Barber last year. Another RC Enerson. That's a good one. We can get signed. You got Alexander Rossi. I'm not sure if we have one of these yet, but Benjamin Peterson. I think we've already had one of these with Fastest Fields for the 232.184. And we have got our second on-card auto from Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan. That would be Christian Lundgaard. That is our second autograph of the box. That is, we are guaranteed at least two autos of the box. So those are our two. Anything on top of that's gravy.
Good stuff there. Starting out this pack again, friend of the show, RC Enerson. So now we have three RC Enerson cards. Next, Colton Herta. And following that, we do have a specialty card here. This is Marquee Moments from 2023. And I think this card's pretty cool. It's got the active past winners of the Board Warner Trophy. And it said, who will be next? I think that's a really cool card there. And then the next one is the podium finishers in Texas last year, Joseph Newgarden Pato Award and Alex Palou right there. And after that, we do have the same card that you had there of Joseph Newgarden as he's climbing out of his car at the Yard of Bricks to go jump with the fans after winning the 500. And back to Callum Ilott there, the number 77 driver last year for Hooco's Hollinger Racing. Then someone else that actually drove for Ray Hall Linderman Lanigan towards the end of last year, Yuri Vets. So that's a new one we don't have as well. And then the last card in this pack is number three, Scott McLaughlin.
My next to last pack is going to start out with Arenas VK. Alex Palou, one of his cards from one of the races. Another Stingray Rob. Pato Award. We have a card for the podium finishes for St. Louis with Scott Dixon, Pato Award, and David Malukas. And a Tony Kanaan, good old-fashioned Tony Kanaan. I'm surprised. I think is this our first Tony Kanaan we've hit, maybe? And we have not hit Helio. I don't know. I have not seen Helio. Then we have a shiny Stefan Wilson. I hope his recovery is going well. And then this one is Marquee Moments. Portland International, 322 on track lap track, 322 on track passes, 219 on track passes for position. Oh, we did have a Kelly also. I was wrong, but Tony Kanaan, that was a great one.
All right, I am down to my second to last pack as well. Again, another Marco Andretti. And after that would be another Lunas Lundqvist there of Meyer Shank Racing from last year. And then we have another marquee moment. The numbers speak for them. Stone Fast Six. This was between, doesn't say what race this is, but it was Christian Lundgaard, Felix Rosenqvist, Alex Palou, Jack Harvey, Pato Award, and Kyle Kirkwood. And the fourth tightest Fast Six was 0.2971 seconds. Next one I have is a Joseph Newgarden, Iowa winner last year. Nice and shiny there. Next is a Alex Palou. Looks like that was at the 500 this past year. So another Alex Palou card. Next would be Graham Rahal right there. And let's see, after Graham Rahal, let's see, I have a whole pile, it seems like, right there. Again, another Tony Kanaan card right there. And then to file out this pack here, another Catherine Legg from the Indy 500 last year. Unmute.
Benjamin Peterson. Then we have R.C. Enerson, another one of our buddies. Joseph Newgarden. This one's from the Indy 500, Alex Palou. Another Catherine Legg. And we're going to follow that one up with a pit pass, Catherine Legg. Then another silver bat border, Jack Harvey. And we have a third autograph from Rahal Letterman Lanigan, Jack Harvey. That's an interesting signature. If someone just gave that to you on a piece of paper, could you tell me that's Jack Harvey's autograph?
Interesting indeed. So the last pack that I have, we have a Tom Blomqvist from Meyer Shank Racing. The next one is a Scott Dixon crossing the Yard of Bricks. I believe that's the first Dixon card that I've pulled out of here today. Next two are actually marquee moments. Today, it is his 50th career start. So nice and shiny card there for Rinus VK. Next marquee moment card is going to be, no, sorry, this is a, sorry, this is a 2023 iconic images of Alex Palou at Portland International Raceway. So that is, that's the iconic image from 2023. And the last cards that I have here is a Scott McLaughlin right there for Team Penske. And then Rinus VK again here for Ed Carpenter Racing. And then another Scott McLaughlin from Team Penske. And the last card in the box is the hometown hero, Ed Carpenter.
Well, Vance, I don't know about you, but this was interesting. I mean, like I said, with there not being as many races, you know, or you know, poses that you could get from like a basketball card or a football card, I think this was a pretty good product. I mean, I wasn't disappointed. We got an Indy Next autograph and two Rahal Letterman Lanigan drivers. So I think this was a success.
Yeah, definitely enjoyed it. Definitely like the array of cards, like the marquee images from 2023, and then the helmet cards I found interesting as well, and then the three autographs that we got, two from Indy Next drivers, and then two from Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan drivers, and then one Indy Next driver. So I think all in all, good collection here, and hopefully IndyCar and Parkside decide to keep this up for years on end.
Definitely. They could evolve and come up with some different card designs, but I thought these were all great.
Yeah, I did as well. And I think that is going to do it for this show. I know we usually run only an hour, but with this card break, it did run a little bit over. So thanks to everybody that tuned in, or everybody that's going to tune in to watch or listen. Remember, always go to our social medias. That's been scrolling at the bottom of the page for all updates this weekend at the race at Barber Motorsport Park there in Birmingham, Alabama. So for that, for myself, Josh, and everyone else that makes up the Push to Pass podcast, that does it for this week's show. Again, we'll be back in 1 week's time to discuss and recap what took place at Barber Motorsport Park in Birmingham, Alabama. So until then, so long, everybody.